Out on the Limb with Dr. Nicola Bird in partnership with Beauty and Wellness TV, your one stop for leading a happy, healthy, and successful life. Celebrating life and illuminating mind, heart, body, and soul.
Welcome, welcome. I am Dr. Nicola Bird. I am a psychotherapist and I am the founder of Self-Imaging Therapy. Thank you for being with me here today at Out on the Limb. We are here to celebrate life and to illuminate the mind, the heart, the body, and the soul. And we have a very exciting show today. The theme is how we can be the picture of prosperity. So that's why I'm particularly thrilled to introduce my esteemed guest, President of Create Great Abundance Activist, Ellen Rogan. Ellen is the co-author of the New York Times bestseller, Picture Your Prosperity, Smart Money Moves to Turn Your Vision into Reality. And even though Ellen is chock full of left-brain credentials, she also walks on the right side, balancing values, big picture ideas, meditation, and a sense of humor with all of her professional training. So she's a very, very balanced approach, and so that's why I'm really happy that she's here so she can share strategies for creating the most amazing, prosperous life that we deserve. Thank you, Ellen, for being here.
Oh, I'm so thrilled. Thank you for having me.
So, Ellen, I know that most people think that to reach their financial goals, well, that we have to really, do such things as, really focus on, the money needs, knowledge, it's about discipline, it's about working hard, it's about perseverance. That's a typical kind of model. You persevere, you work hard, you discipline, that kind of thing. And traditionally, people don't really associate making money with the beliefs that they have around money. And instead, it really is the doer market, do, rather than be. Yet many people do all of these things. They put in the work, they get the knowledge, they are disciplined, and they're still not prospering. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, well, that's really an interesting question. I think many people can, many of you can think of someone you know that maybe you're smarter than or you're doing the right things, and yet they're prospering. Things seem to come easily for them. And a lot of it's based in what we think and what we say about our money, and that has a direct impact on what shows up in our lives. And many of these thoughts and beliefs are rooted in what we see, hear, and experience as young children.
So what would you say are the things that get in the way? Because, that just really flips on the it's taking a deeper look at the problem or the struggle or what person, rather than, again,
yeah, so
it's action-oriented, it's more internal. So what are some of the things that...
Well, one of the ways you can identify what some of your limiting beliefs around money are is to notice what you say to yourself about money. I'll meet people and they'll say, I just don't have a head for money. Or things are so hard in business right now. It's really difficult. Well, study after study show that how we're programming our brain, what we think over and over, is actually what shows up for us. So if you are someone who has really a focus on scarcity, on what's not working, on fear-based things, on really aggressive competition, it's going to be much harder than if you're someone who is focused on there's always opportunities, there's always good things that can come out. At the bottom depths of the recession, some of the biggest businesses were formed because people saw it as an opportunity versus a challenge.
I love what you're saying, because I was actually having this conversation with someone that I was working alongside of a person, and this was the expectation going in, and it changed. And then right away I was like, oh, opportunity. And right away they were like, it didn't go well. I'm like, what? It didn't go the way that the entry point of what we thought it was going to be, but now it highlighted something else that wasn't an opportunity here. And that other person couldn't even see it because his brain couldn't wrap around it. It's so programmed to seeing. And I'm like, oh, my God. I totally see how when we get so limited in the brain, really prevents us from out of these just different challenges, like really illuminating what actually is right in front of our face, or opportunities that we can't see because we're not looking from that lens.
Yeah, the analogy I like to give is if you imagine right in front of you on the wall or window in front of you is all the bad news, all the challenges, all the hard things, like all the junk we hear on TV, and it's really sticky. It's like watching a train wreck. You know, I'm not going to watch. And if we're focused there and right behind you is this amazing opportunity waving its arms, you won't even be able to see it because you're focused on the wrong thing.
Yeah. What do you find that we'll focus on that really gets them trapped?
Yeah. So in terms of growing businesses or even building your personal prosperity, I think that they're focusing on what isn't working or what they're afraid of. You know, there's so much news out there about what's happening in the economy and the world, and it can be really scary, and there's a lot of people in the media who make money off fear-mongering, right? That's how you sell ads. If it was always like, hey, the markets are going to be fine, things go up and down, you'll be okay, just have a good plan, and that wouldn't sell. It would be kind of boring. It wouldn't sell a lot of ads. But if they're stirring things up or conflicting views, and I think that people get scared, and fear is a really dangerous thing when it comes to managing your business or managing your money. I mean, if you think about what kind of decisions you make when they're fear-based, they're usually not very good ones. I saw really interesting... There was a really interesting book called Scarcity, and they found that when people are really freaked out about money, which can be really scary, their IQ actually drops. So you're unable to make good financial decisions.
I mean, it's really fascinating how powerful, and I mean, that really highlights how powerful what we're processing in our mind, how much it impacts us. I mean, because I think it's so invisible, people, you just don't realize how much power we actually have, is basically what I'm saying, in either direction.
Right, right. And when you see it work in the positive direction, you know, and some of you listening might be people that picture parking spaces available for you. I certainly have done that for years. And when my kids were little, I told them they had parking angels. And when I'm with my daughter, we always get, like, not just a good space, but the best legal space. And whenever that happens, I'm like, whoa, I rock. You know, like, you see how powerful we can be with something that you think you really have no control over. And when you do little things like that, when the big things happen, it's just so amazing.
Well, I mean, I think that, I mean, again, the biggest message here is how much power we actually do have just by switching. And it makes me think of when I gave a talk recently, and I was talking about, you know, transforming the word failure into opportunity and how much resistance I got. And how there was a whole bunch of people fighting with me to hold on to the word failure. Like, so it's fine, and, you know, it motivates you. Like, it's amazing how much we will sit there and really fight for the problem and not, and not recognize, you know, when we're let go of the things that aren't serving us and just give something else that's really positive, reinforcing a greater opportunity. Just give it a chance and see that benefit in our lives.
Yeah, and so, you know, this idea of picturing what we want, or, you know, it's well established that mental rehearsal is a powerful tool. Athletes have known this for years. You think about if you're someone who pictures the perfect golf swing or tennis shot, you know that this works. Well, you can use this for any area of your life. It just doesn't have to be a physical activity.
Right.
And by rehearsing, like, what is your ideal outcome? What it does is it actually trains your brain to be able to see opportunities that are out there and listen differently.
Yes.
Like, if I know that I'm, you know, wanting to build my business a certain way, or we take just a simple example, if you're planning a trip to Australia, for example, all of a sudden you'll start to notice conversations or see something on the come through your email box, and you'll pay attention in a different way. So the more that you're able to focus on what you want to create in your business or for your personal life or your personal finances, the more opportunities you'll have. And not to confuse that you just picture it and it magically appears. I mean, once in a while that'll happen. But it then allows you, it kind of greases the the way for you to take the proper actions, the right actions to help move you along that path.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that, I mean, that's such a, so important because, I mean, that's why, I mean, I just had the example that I gave you where I had that experience right in front of me, and it really highlighted for me how much when you keep training your brain to see opportunities, what a difference it is when you meet the obstacles. Because I think that this idea, okay, if I visualize, if I picture this, it kind of, if you don't really get into the deeper layers of it, you start thinking, oh, it's just going to rescue me, and it's all, it's not. It's about really training your brain to constantly seeing opportunities, mm-hmm. so that you can, being really, everything becomes an opening rather than a closing.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're always facing challenges, you know, challenges are part of what we experience in life.
Yeah, and then there's people, I can think of someone in my life that, every time he hears no in business, the way I think he
right.
hears that is, oh, I didn't explain this right. I must need to, like, do this in a different way where, you know, until I really observed him, I would say, oh, no, okay. And he's, like, tenacious in a really beautiful way, not in an annoying, horrible way. But,
right,
like, if you really believe in what you're offering, then if you can reinterpret that as like, okay, maybe there's a better way. Maybe this obstacle's coming up because I'm not supposed to have it happen this way. You know, there's
mm-hmm.
there's this better plan. And as you said, to really redefine failure into opportunity is a wonderful way to think about things.
Yes. No, I was actually having this conversation with a client as well, and I said, you know, anyone who is seeing, when you're arguing to hold on to failure and you think that you're learning, anyone that learns something from a situation never sees it as a failure. If I go into a situation and I come out and I go, boy, I came out learning this, you don't see that you fail. So anytime you're holding on to that word, it's because you really haven't taken the positive lesson.
Mm. Right, and that's really where growth is. I mean, it's not something we think we want to choose because it doesn't always feel good.
No.
But it really is where the growth comes to make us even better. I mean, many people have had, whether it's health challenges or business challenges, and hopefully they've come through the other end and they're like, okay, wouldn't necessarily wish this path on someone else, but boy, am I glad it ultimately happened.
Yes, yes. I mean, initially you might not feel that way. I mean, when you get the hard knock, it's from what you're saying, and in terms of this prosperity consciousness, you shift out of it faster. You move beyond it and start seeing the opportunity so that you don't get kind of trapped. I do want to talk about, you know, your balanced, because I think this is so important, that you have this beautiful balance, Ellen, you know, the left brain, right brain. And I know a lot of people struggle with that. I had that conversation with somebody yesterday as well. Like, you know, there are people who are just like, you know, yeah, very, very business or very, you know, woohoo, and they can't bring the two together kind of thing. You're creative or you're business. And you have really been able to marry the two. Tell us how you did that and why that's important or effective.
Well, for most things, so one of the ways I look at this is we live in a material world, and it tends, mm-hmm. lots of things, especially in the money world, tends to be kind of more left-brained as we think of more analytical numbers, the financial, the tactical side of things, which is
mm-hmm.
important, but most people think that's the only thing that's important when it comes to their personal finances. But we also live in an ethereal world, this world we can't see. And that's the creative, the intuitive. And if you think about the balance, like, okay, if you just had someone who was just looking at the numbers and maybe everything ticked and tied, but they had no vision of what they wanted their life to be, or they came home and kicked their dog and had bad relationships, like, well, that isn't something most of us would choose. And on the other side, if you're all like airy-fairy, the universe will provide, I don't have a head for any, you know, numbers, that's
yes.
hard in the material world we live in. And so
right.
what I love to talk about is that they're both important. And I think my industry, the financial services industry, has been really good at making money really complicated and have people think that they're not good at it. And it's not really the case. And these skills of visioning and creativity and values and generosity and giving and gratitude are amazing prosperity building skills. And then sometimes we have to, like, do the numbers too.
Right.
But they're both important.
Did you ever struggle with one or the other?
You know, I would say that I led a very bifurcated life. Like, I'm a CPA by background. I always did great in my math classes, but there was something always missing for me in that. And when I got into advising people about their personal finances, what I really noticed was the thing that was most fascinating to me was how they made financial decisions. You know, what caused them to be happy and content? What caused people to be more successful than others? And it rarely had anything to do with directly with the numbers. There are certain habits that people had, like consistently they're really good savers. My clients that are totally on track for their goals, they always spend less than they earn. But some of it's like, why? Well, because they tend to be more content in their life, and they tend to be a little bit less materialistic. It doesn't mean that they don't have lovely things or go on great trips, but that's not what feeds their soul. And so there's a really interesting balance there. Yeah, so I'd struggle with that every day, and I just realize there's things that are more fun than others, and they're all important. So I'm trying to marry the two after all these years.
Okay. Well, that's beautiful. I think it's really important bringing the two together because we can shift between one or the other, or bring the two together depending on the situation or the needs. What do you say to people to help them be able to create more of that harmony?
Yeah, so first of all, acknowledging that they're both important. And to bring in, I'll just give you a quick example of a way to do that. So many people have no idea what they're spending money on or what they really spend. And this idea of budgeting is horrible and constricting feeling. It's like eating celery at a pizza party. Like, no one wants to do that, right? But if you were to, but it's important to know what's flowing in and out. So if you were to take that and do the kind of number crunching of what's flowing in and out, but then lay your values on top of that and say, okay, do I value where I'm spending my money? Are these on things that are really important to me? And I've seen people make unbelievable changes in their lives by just going through that exercise of, like, okay, maybe it's easy for you, work of crunching the numbers, but then laying your values on top of it and making really good decisions. You know, this home that you said you always wanted 20 years later maybe isn't that important to you, and all your money's going into that home, and you're staying in a job that you hate just to kind of serve that lifestyle. And if you take a step back, maybe you can make some changes and really lead more of the life that you truly want, or give to causes that are more important to you, or help your kids in a different way. Bringing in the right side in with the traditional left side things as well.
Right. So we have two sides of the coin. So when you have someone who's very, you know, left side oriented, which is going to be the logical, that kind of practical side, and then you bring in your the whole idea of prosperity picture and visualization and that, how do you get them to be able to be more open to those ideas, given that they are so left-brain oriented?
Well, some of the way, and this is outlined in the book, is we actually have people create literally a prosperity picture. So this is a vision of images, and in the book or on our website, we start with 32 images, but you can add your own, of course, of things that represent things you want in your life. And then we give people a grid to put these on based on amount of money it takes to reach these goals or time frame. And I've had people, I was at a workshop, and someone in the audience I actually knew, and he came up to me afterwards. He goes, my whole life I've been, like, working to save money for retirement and for my kids' educations and working so hard at my job, and I never really thought about why, for what? What do I really want? And so sometimes it's taking this break and actually going through an activity like this. And that kind of activity really serves the right brain people, too, because when you can look at your pictures and tap into a different type of part of your brain about what you really want to accomplish, then it gives you motivation to figure out how to get there. Okay, maybe I need to set up a savings plan if I really want to go on this round-the-world trip. take this big sabbatical or send my kids to college or whatever it is that's your the real goal that feeds your soul.
And to those who then are on the opposite side, so if you're more right-brained, that's more creative, and then that whole thing just seems, that whole practical seems, you know, difficult or boring or just threatening. How do you get them to embrace?
Yeah, so using this prosperity picture where you really get to feed into that creativity, then you can say, okay, if I have these goals that I'm so excited about achieving, how do I get them? So I think it's really taking that idea of money is really just a tool to feed your life. It's not this separate thing, and it's showing people how money can be, it's just the fuel. That's all it is. We've attached all this other meaning to it. And I think what I've seen is that people have, when they have that goal behind it and motivation, then they're motivated to take action or get the help they need to do it. You don't have to do this all on your own, right? If it's not your thing. I mean, I'm a CPA by background. I don't do my tax return. I don't want to. I hire somebody who's like, that's what they love doing. So this isn't your thing, but I need to be involved. I need to know what's going on, right? So it's not just totally turning it over. But get help.
And that's a really very, I mean, that's such a practical thing. And you know, people don't often think they have to do everything, and getting help can be really humbling. Is there, I'd love to hear a transformational story that you've experienced with others from going through this kind of process.
Yeah, so I was alluding to this a little bit before when I talked about the spending plan, which is the way I word budgeting because I hate that word. So I had a woman who was at one of our programs and did finally, after all these years, figured out what was flowing in and out of her life and went back and realized that she has been divorced for a while. Her kids were grown. She was living in this big house. She was working in a family business she hated, like a long-standing family business, and had some credit card debt. And she made a big decision. She realized a big portion of her monthly money was going to support this house she didn't even care about anymore. She sold the house, got rid of a bunch of stuff, clearing clutter, which is another strategy that we talk about in the book, and was able, with the money from the house, to pay off debt. She bought a little condo in the lake in Chicago, so beautiful. She cut her expenses down so much, she realized she didn't have to stay in this family business anymore. Started her own business, and she's doing marvelously now. So just that one activity, and although it may seem like, oh, she downsized, that's not a good thing, for her it was a right-sizing and a value-sizing of her plan to end up much happier and using her money much more effectively.
So did she have to go through a certain kind of, like, change of identity or discomfort? I mean, I think that's what happens, that we think that we should do this. It must be that. It must be this. Was that part of that process?
I would say that the process was really like a whole clearing of her life. So she cleared clutter. She cleared her finances. And it was I think that what I'm hearing with this question is sometimes we think this is how things are supposed to be. And it takes stepping back and going, well, why would I think that? Why do I think I have to keep this big house forever? Or that I need a bigger house? Or maybe that's truly what you want. And then you change some other area in your life. So I'm not saying everything is like minimalist, if that's not you know, what's important to her. But for her, it was really looking at her values. Would she rather be in this big house she didn't care about or get out of a family business she hated? Right?
Well,
and then it was... wasn't a hard decision at that point.
Right, because what I'm hearing from that part is that, and you made that, as I mentioned, this is a theme throughout, is that it is so much more about, like, you finding out your values, what's right for you. You talked about the man with his family and things like that, that it's being connected to yourself. You have to do that kind of self-exploration and self-examination.
Yeah, and it can be fun. Right? So,
absolutely.
And it's really important with money. Like, people don't think about that has anything to do with their money. They think it's all about how I allocate my 401k plan and what's happening in the markets. And that stuff's not unimportant, but it's meaningless if you're not living the life that you truly want or not using your money in a way that really is in alignment with who you are.
Well, Ellen, we're wrapping up very shortly, and, you know, you've offered just so many, you know, important and valuable strategies. And for the listeners out there, you can find more about Ellen at her website, ellenrogan.com. That's R-O-G-I-N. Her link is in the message board below, so please check her out. She works with you wherever you are. And her, and then, of course, you can get her incredible book, Picture Your Prosperity, available on Amazon and other stores. So, Ellen, just to give us a quick wrap-up, a takeaway for the listeners, how they can empower themselves towards prosperity, what would you like to leave the listeners with?
So two things. One is just what you think and what you say has a direct effect on what shows up in your lives. And we didn't really have a time this time to really talk about giving, but generosity is one of the best ways to reduce financial stress. And I would also say, if just as a gift, if they go to ellenrogan.com/goodies, I do have visualizations in there, some audios that are free and some resources, and there's other ones on our website, too, that may help in this process. Two, just calm down your brain and start to think about what you most want in your life.
Well, thank you. That's you know, that's very empowering. And again, that's ellenrogan.com and ellenrogan/goodies.
Yep.
Excellent stuff. Thank you, Ellen, for being here and sharing your insights and wisdom with us today.
Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. Many blessings. Wow, we've had a lot of insight from Ellen today about how we can really embrace so much more prosperity in our life by making small shifts in our mindset and also in just little strategies towards creating just more prosperity. And it's very empowering to know the how much power we actually do have within us by making these shifts. So it's really worth the effort, and let's just make it an intention and commitment for us to just start making these small shifts in mindsets alone and to embrace so much more the prosperity that we deserve. This is Dr. Nicola Bird, and to get more insights in how you can lead your best life possible, go to my website, Wellness Lifestyle Network. That's www.welllifenetwork.com. Join my mailing list. You'll get incredible tips and tools to create the amazing life you deserve there, as well as so many experts and so much content. And so thank you, as always, for tuning in. Remember to share the joy and share Out on the Limb show with all of your network and friends. And keep in mind that sometimes you do need to go out on the limb to achieve the happy, healthy, and successful life that you deserve. I am Dr. Nicola Bird. See you right here tomorrow for another insightful and entertaining segment of Out on the Limb.
You're tuned into Out on the Limb Radio with Dr. Nicola Bird in partnership with Beauty and Wellness TV. Tune in Monday to Friday, 5 p.m. Eastern and 2 p.m. Pacific.